Lord Jesus, we thank you so much, Lord, for the things that's fixing to happen. You've been giving us words. You've been giving us dreams about the things that are on the horizon. Actually, they're not on the horizon. They're almost within touching distance. And Lord, we just thank you for getting us all ready. Lord, we thank you for your grace and your love toward us and the love you're placing in us, Lord. We thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, for all you're doing for us. We praise you, Father, for your word, the word that we study and learn what it is to walk like you, Lord, and to talk like you and to have the authority like you did, Lord, so the world can get blessed by it. And Father, we thank you that this revival is fixing to start here shortly. And it's going to go throughout this whole world. And we know that there's going to be a shaking all over this whole world too. And that's going to be the catalyst, I believe, that brings in a lot of your people. And Lord, we ask that you anoint us tonight. We ask that you lead us tonight. And we praise you, Father, for all that you accomplished tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, all right. Anybody got a prayer request? All right, Jackie, go ahead.
Thank you. Would you please pray for me? I'm not feeling very good. I just feel like about the last couple hours, I'm just being attacked with something. I feel real chilled and like a sore throat and just like something's trying to come upon me.
Yep, sure can.
Thank you.
In the name of Jesus right now, we command this spirit of infirmity that's trying to break through into Jackie's body. We command you to go from her right now. Matter of fact, we bind up all of your works and command you off of her in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that all the symptoms are gone in the name of Jesus. We praise you, Father, that Jackie is already healed in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Thank you. Amen.
Anybody else? Go ahead, Matt.
I would just like prayer of agreement. I've already prayed the prayer of faith, so agreement that Obadiah and Anna are healed and delivered from these lying symptoms as well.
Amen. We believe it. We believe it for everybody. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, that this spirit of infirmity, you know, Lord, I think it's some of this, it could be some of this chemtrail crud. We command that stuff to be neutralized in the name of Jesus every time we go out, wherever we go, ever what we breathe is filtered by the Holy Spirit. And Father, we thank you that we don't have to worry about that stuff. And we thank you, Lord, that if there is a spirit of infirmity there, we bind it up and cast it off of everybody. And off of Anna, off of Obadiah, off of everybody else that might be experiencing that in Jesus' name. And we praise you, Father, that we are walking like you, Lord, and we don't have to put up with that mess. In fact, we don't put up with it because we're not under the curse, and the curse has got to go in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen. Oh, glory, hallelujah. Walking just like Jesus. Remember them cells that expanded when you pray? Glory to God, you know that everything is working right now. You can't see it in yourself, but you know that God's working in your body right now. Amen. Okay. Anybody else?
I have a prayer request.
Okay, Angelica, go ahead.
Okay, I was wondering if you and everyone else can pray that the Lord would give me a refreshing in the spirit and help me to break through some of these calls that I've been having and just for a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit.
Okay. He says, if you ask, you seek and you knock, you're going to get what you ask for. You're going to get what you're seeking. You're going to go through the door when you knock. So in the name of Jesus right now, we thank you, Lord, that you're giving Angelica a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit. The anointing and the overcoming power of the Spirit of God flow through her right now, just like the oil of gladness going all the way through her body right now in Jesus' name. And it's filling up from the bottom of her feet all the way up through the top of her head right now in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, that she is filled. And she understands and believes that the gifts of the Spirit are evident whenever she needs them. And we thank you for it, Father. We thank you for the overcoming power and authority that you've given us over in Luke chapter 10 and verse 19. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for boatloads of faith. But you know, I remember what you said. You said that the faith the size of a mustard seed will move mountains off into the ocean. And Lord, I thank you that you've given her even bucket loads of faith to believe the promises that you've given us in your word. And I thank you, Lord, that she is filled. And Lord, I ask and I pray for a fresh infilling for everybody here in the name of Jesus. And everyone who wants to receive that infilling, I ask that you raise your hands and receive it because God's given it. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you, Father, for this fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, I thank you. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Ooh, my. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Father. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Ooh, I feel better. Thank you, Lord Jesus. That's an old expression I used to say. I feel better all over than I do anywhere else. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anyone else need prayer or would like to pray? All right, let's pray. Y'all believe with me. We're going to do a little spiritual warfare here. In the name of Jesus, I command any hindering spirits, any tormenting spirits out of this room in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, that we have freedom with you. I thank you, Lord, that this gateway we have is right to the throne room, Lord. And I praise you for it, Father, and I thank you for the Holy Spirit that you have filled, the Shekinah glory filled every room that all of these wonderful brothers and sisters are in, Lord. And I thank you for it, Father. I thank you, Lord, that your healing power is going forth right now through every room and everybody that's listening and that's participating in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, for your almighty power to bring all of us together in one accord. And that's a power that the devil can't stand. And Father, we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that the devil's on the run because you're in charge. And we give you complete authority. We surrender our lives to you, Lord. We surrender everything that's of flesh to you, Lord. And we thank you for the taking over with the Spirit of God in all of our lives. We command all the flesh to die right now in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, that the Spirit of God is coming forth in all of us tonight. And I thank you for it, Father. Thank you, Lord, for the work you're doing in us in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Whew. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Ooh, my. All right, anybody else got a prayer request or a testimony or a praise report or a comment? Jackie, you feel better already, I can tell. Yep, shake your head, yeah.
I say amen.
Amen.
I figure out the mute button, I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay. That's all right. Praise God.
before.
Yeah, it's a lot warmer in there now.
Amen.
I can feel the heat, girl. It's almost 80 in here. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus.
That's too hot.
I'm looking for, it's too hot. No, it ain't. Man, you got the Holy Ghost. You don't need any heat, do you?
No, amen.
No, you don't need a bit of heat. Praise God. Okay, anybody else? Hey, Rob. Yeah, go ahead, Tim.
Yeah, over the last couple of weeks, we've prayed for a sister up here that's an older gal with cancer and inoperable, and her tumors were crowding her vital organs and causing quite a bit of pain. Well, I got a report Saturday, and this gal that knows her, her friend, told me that the tumors are shrinking and that she's no longer in pain. So we've got a work of God that's manifesting in her, and she already a believer, but now she's seeing some action from it. So I want to praise God for that.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Amen. That cancer's got to go in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. All right, anybody else? I like him kind of testimony. She's going to tell everybody she knows who did it too, ain't she?
I think she already is telling everybody.
Amy, you watch what happens. He's going to be completely restored.
She's giving the good report. So.
Yes, she is. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, Julie. How you doing, girl? All right. All right. Anybody else got a testimony, a praise report? What's the other one? Thank you, Lord, for restoring my memory, too. Thank you, Father. It's already done. Amen. Let's just pray that for everybody. Anybody here needs a memory restored? Or maybe you didn't have a memory to start with. Maybe you just need one. Well, Lord, that's... Lord, I pray for one that's normal. I want one that's above normal memory. In Jesus' name. Lord, I just thank you that you're giving us all great memory. That when we need to know something, we're going to find it. It's going to come to the front in our file system, and it's going to show up like a file. We're going to know it, Lord, and I thank you for not restoring it, but giving us all great memory. I'm talking steel trap memory. Lord, we grasp something and we don't turn it loose because we know it's coming back up when we need it. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen that needed that memory. Thank you, Jesus. Woo, my, my, my. Yeah, now I remember everybody. Okay, now I'm looking. I'm seeing everybody I know now. Glory. It's already working. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Has anybody got a comment they'd like to make or anything they'd like to do before we get into something tonight? Yeah, go ahead, Jackie.
Hey, Brother Rob just texted and said, please tell Michael I don't have a mic hooked up. I need to find it.
Okay. All right. That's fine.
He just can't talk back.
Okay. All right. Well, he's listening. That's good. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Well, Rob, we appreciate you coming on, brother. All right. All right. Anybody got anything they'd like to share? Can I share one thing before we get started? I was looking in here, and Lake had a tongues, an interpretation during the meeting, and I want to recite it. When he had a tongues or an interpretation of tongues, most of the time it was poetic. He had it in poetry form. I'm just going to recite it. It's not that long. It's just a little bit. It said, list, 'tis the morning hours in glory. A shadow through the mist doth now appear. A troop of angels sweeping down in greeting. A welcome home rings out with joyous cheer. I forgot to tell you the name of this. It's called The Reception. He's talking about the reception up in heaven. Okay, this is tongues and the interpretation of the tongues that he gave. A traveler from the earth is now arriving. A mighty welcome's ringing in the skies. The trumpets of a host are now resounding. A welcome to the life that never dies. Who is the victor whom the angels welcome? What mighty deeds of valor have been done? What is the meaning of these shouts of triumph? Why welcome this soul as a mighty one? She's but a woman, frail and slight and tender. No special mark of dignity she bears. Only the Christ light from her faith doth glisten. Only the white robe of a saint she wears. She's but a soul redeemed through the blood of Jesus. Hers but a life of sacrifice and care. Yet with her welcome all the heavens ringing, and on her brow a victor's crown she bears. How come she thus from sin's benighting thraldom the grace and purity of heaven to obtain? Only through him who gave his life a ransom, cleansing the soul from every spot and stain. See, as you gaze upon her face so radiant, 'tis but the beauty of her Lord, you see. Only the image of his life resplendent, only the mirror of his life is she. See with what signs of joy they bear her onward, how that the heavens ring with glad acclaim. What is the shout they raise while soaring upward? Welcome, thrice welcome, thou in Jesus' name. Rest in the mansion by thy Lord prepared thee, out of the loving deeds which thou hast done, furnished through thoughts and acts which have portrayed me unto a lost world as their Christ alone. Hear how thy heavenly harp is ringing, touched are its strings with hands by thee unseen. Note that the music of thine own creating, heaven's melodies in hearts where sin has been. See how the atmosphere with love is laden, and that with brightness all the landscape gleams. Know 'tis the gladness and the joy of heaven, shed now by rescued souls in radiant beams. Oh, that here on earth we may learn the lesson that Christ enthroned on our hearts while here fits and prepares the soul for heaven, making us like him both there and here, doing the simple and homely duties, just as our Christ on the earth has done, seeking alone that the Christ's own beauties in every heart should be caused to bloom, showing all men that the blood of Jesus cleanses our hearts from all sin below, and that the life of the Christ within us transforms the soul till it's pure as snow. When we thus come to the dark, cold river, no night, no darkness, no death is there, only great joy that at last the giver grants us anew of his life to share. Given to John G. Lake in Tongues and Interpretations while in Africa. Praise God. Amen. Okay. I don't know if you got your hand raised or you just fixing your computer there, Julie. She's fixing her computer, I think. Yeah, go ahead. You want me to unmute you? Oh, okay. I thought you... I was trying to get you to say something. Okay. Is all right. Anybody else got anything they'd like to share tonight? Did everybody get the email? Did you get the memo? Everybody get the memo. Okay. Separation. Let me think here. Let me get the Let me get my phone here. Being not of this world, but being set apart individually and as a call, can we talk about come out from among her, my beloved, about holy nation and how we show forth God's praises in that way? All right. What about separation? What is separation? I'm going to ask some questions. I'm going to need some answers. What is separation? Isn't sanctification a separation? Go ahead, Andy.
Separation, sanctification is holiness.
Yeah.
It's the narrow road. It's the way. It's Jesus. Jesus is the way. Separate, set apart, holy. Called out of the nations, into the kingdom.
Amen. Okay, I you know, the question has to be asked, set apart from what? And I'm just asking everybody. I'm not just throwing it to Andrew. I'm asking everybody. What are we separated from? Yeah, Leah. Oh, let me unmute you. Yeah, okay. Wait a minute. It's not unmuting. There it is.
Separated from sin.
Okay. And what else?
What else?
Go ahead, Denny.
Yeah, and separated from the world.
Yep.
When Israel was separated from Egypt, you know, by their baptism into death, and the resurrection, you know, coming up the other side of the Red Sea, that separated them from the world. And I've noticed, we've noticed a couple of times with some believers that, you know, they gave their life to the Lord and they believed, but they weren't baptized yet. And but then after they were baptized, it made a distinction, a difference, you know, something that happens to you after you're baptized, you know, because you're separated from Egypt, so. Amen.
Amen. That's right. He wants us to walk out of the world. He wants to separate ourselves from the world. He not only wants to separate ourselves from the world, he wants to get the world out of us too, don't he? Yeah, he wants to get the flesh out of us. Well, how'd y'all get outside so quick, Debbie and Denny? Y'all in a wheat field or something. Y'all in the bushes.
What? I don't know what happened.
When we muted ourselves back, a different picture of ourselves.
I see. Wow. Yeah. Oh.
Well, is it a good picture?
Yeah, it's a good picture. It's a good picture.
Yeah. They finally landed in a field somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah. Boy, that was a wild ride, wasn't it? Yeah. That's a pretty picture. That's right. We're separated from the world. We separate ourselves from sin. We overcome sin because we're filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's sanctification. That all works into sanctification. Anybody got anything else? Yeah, Andrew.
Well, we need Ephesians 5:26 for that separation. The washing of water by the word.
Amen.
That, you know, got to sing that a few times, that he may sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by his word.
Yeah. Amen. There's actually a lot of scriptures on separation. That may not say separate, but it's referring to that. In 2 Corinthians 6:14, it says, "Be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what fellowship have righteousness and iniquity? Or what communion has light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what portion hath a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For we are a temple of the living God. Even as God said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come ye out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch no unclean thing. And I will receive you, and will be to you a father, and you shall be to me sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. You do that, and you'll be a sanctified son of God, won't you? You'll be in the bride. Okay. Anybody else?
Yeah, I'd just like to add that I know that when we're baptized, we're we're declaring that we've died with Christ and we're risen with Him. But my question to this has been, so many people I know that have been baptized, and they're Christians, but they're not separate from the world. And in many ways, we weren't either. In many ways, we still aren't. We're wanting to be. We're wanting to be separate from the world. Things of the world. I think of the verse that talks about us being a peculiar people, a holy nation, peculiar people that you might show forth the praises of God. So it's like, I like that word peculiar, because I think it really means what it says. A lot of people say, well, that just means separate. I think it means more than that. I think it means peculiar, really different. We're different than the world because we are separated, so therefore we appear peculiar. And I just have real concern for so many loved ones and friends that they're not separate from the world, and they're taking on so many of the methods and ways of the world thinking. And, you know, it's just it's a real prayer concern for that all of us should have for those that we love that are really bound the ways of the world.
You know what's gonna turn most all of those types of people is this shaking that's coming. Well, you know, when that ground starts shaking under your feet and it doesn't stop, I mean, it's gonna be one continual shake right after another, one right after another. And it's not gonna just last for a day or so. It's going to last for a long time. I believe it's going to last for at least 7 years. You know, it's going to be shaking the whole time. And because you know as well as I do, when something bad happens, people flock to the churches. But after a while, after things settle down, they start coming back out of the churches. And this time, God's going to shake the ground. He's going to shake their world. And it's going to rock them to a point to calling out to Him. These people that we've been praying for, they're going to be calling. They're going to say, hey, remember what you told me about the Lord? You said, what do I need to do? And that's when you'll be telling them what to do. You know, well, your first thing you need to do is repent. That means change. And explain to them what it means. Repent and believe. That's what the Lord Jesus said. He said, repent and believe. Believe what? Believe what the promises are. Believe what the Word of God said. How are we supposed to live? How are we supposed to walk? We get on that straight, on that straight and that narrow, and we walk like Jesus walked. How does Jesus walk? Well, you'll have to get in the Word and understand what it means, you know, and that's what you do. That's what God is teaching us to do here. He's teaching us to come around and be disciples of God, and to be a disciple and to disciple people when they do come in, because they won't know anything. They won't have a clue what's going on. And y'all will. We all will. We'll know what to tell them. We'll know how to minister to them. They're going to be scared. They're going to be rough, and they're going to be, there's going to be all types out there, and it's going to be, and that's why God is trying to, is taking us through the ringer to get us ready for this bunch that's coming. Killing the flesh. He's separating us from the world. He's getting the world out of us. He's getting the flesh out. He's killing the flesh out of us. You know, we got walking, talking flesh killers all around us, you know. And so that's what God brings them here for, is so that we can lose the flesh and just, all I want is the love of Christ in my heart. I don't want nothing else. I ain't there yet. I'm getting there. I'm getting there. I'm a whole lot better than I was yesterday. Okay. and that's what we got to do. We got to keep going. Sometimes we stumble. Ain't no big deal. Get up just like a baby. Get up and go for it again, just like Obadiah does. He'll fall down and he might whimper a little bit, but he'll get right back up. And that's what he wants us to do. Yeah, Julie.
I was sharing with another sister one time that a few months ago when I was at work, I don't know if it was a feeling or just a sensation of just being disconnected from where I was at, like at work and the people at work, and just feeling like I didn't belong there. I didn't feel like I was just like totally disconnected from everybody there. It was, I don't know how to describe it, but she's in the workplace too, and she kind of has had that feeling before too. You just feel totally alone and not isolated in a bad way, but just totally not. I wasn't there. You know, just wasn't there. It was just a really weird feeling that came over me. I don't know if anyone else has had or experienced that. Can't hear you, Michael.
I guess I got to have the mic on in order to talk. But anyway, he may be, you know, getting you ready for this time ahead. You know, maybe getting you ready to leave, and understanding that you're not there for, you know, you're there for.
I believe that.
A short time, you know.
Yeah.
Just like all of us here, who knows where we're going to be next? You know, I had a dream one time about me. That I had left the local here, and boy, I'm telling you what, the lines was everywhere out there in the fields around, you know, and I was trying to make it over to another place here, me and another guy, I don't even know who it was, but he was a brother, and I made it to another box, so to speak. We got in that box and we could look out the windows at the box, and the lines were everywhere, man. They were all over the place. And, David and the rest of the local fellowship was back behind us, but it was a great big box that they were in. They were sealed away from the lines, and I was in this little box. Me and this other guy was in this little box away from the lines. And I think that's what the Lord is telling us, that we're all going to be, we may not be in the same place all the time, you know. Yeah, Leon. No. Let me unmute you.
What were the lines about?
Well, that's the beast. That's the beast kingdom outside our little world with Jesus, you know. Yeah. Yeah, because I had another dream. I was in a big barn with lines all over the place. And I mean, they were just all over the place. And I knew if one of them ever caught me, you know, that was it. But they never could catch me. I was too agile. Pow, 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 pow. They knew not to mess with the dude, you know. But anyway, that's just the beast, I believe, that the Lord's showing me, that we have dominion over, we have authority over. All right, anybody else? I believe there's going to be people scattered all over this world that are going to be discipling for Jesus, these people coming in. Because you got to understand something. The people that are coming in, he's going to populate heaven during this next 7 years with all these people. This is the time ahead is when most of the people are going to be populating heaven with. God's going to populate heaven with most of these people by the thousands, millions. I don't know. you know, I know it's going to be real small according to the world population, but it's going to be a good sized revival, a great revival, a lot of people coming in. And it's going to be supernatural too. Woo, glory to God. You're talking about that wall and that separation. What kind of a separation would it be if you're in a FEMA camp and say Andrew shows up, just pops up. All right, y'all, come on, let's go. You know, and the Lord takes you out of there and takes you back to safety. That kind of thing is going to be going on all over, I believe. Lord showed us that translation is going to be a big thing in the days ahead. If you can believe it, if you can believe for it, you know. All right. Separation. So the first thing we got to do is get sanctified, right? Separate from the world. Separate from the flesh. Separate from sin and all of that stuff. All right, anybody else?
Michael?
Yeah, Gaino, go ahead.
Well, I've been reading the book Absolute Surrender, and I thought it really, you know, the book really does go with this topic tonight. And, you know, people think that, many think that it depends on their own strength, their own ability, and they think they can't do it. And it just, you know, it's really clear in this book, you know, and also with the verse from Philippians 2:13 that it is God that helps us to do it. You know, if we know we can't do it ourselves, but he puts his will in us and he gives us the power to do it. And there were just so many different things in the I happened to be on the chapter that was on absolute surrender that I was reading last night when I saw that email, and I thought, well, my goodness, there's so many things in there that really go with that topic, and it's just something that we have to all do. We have to come out, and we have to separate from the world, and but we cannot depend on our own ability, because it will not happen that way. And I guess that was really the main thing that I wanted to share. You know, in this chapter, it mentions the things that that God works, that when we surrender to him, even though we might be afraid to even utter the phrase, that when we once let him know that, yes, we do want to surrender to him, that he claims it and he works in us, and he's the one that accepts it, and he's the one that maintains it. I thought that was just an awesome statement in there. And it should be one that would give us boldness to step out, even though we may be fearful of saying, I want to separate. You know, I know that we all do, but sometimes we think so much of our own ability, and we think, I don't think I can do that. And no, we can't on our own, but with God's help, we surely can.
You know,
he's faithful to his word to perform it.
Amen. You know,
so, I don't know. There were just so many different things in that one chapter that I was reading that just, you know, it's all by his grace, and it's by his power and his work in us. And, it's a must. It's something that we have to do. It's mm-hmm. not that it's a good idea. It's something we have to do. And he just helps us to know that if that is your desire, I will help you to accomplish that. But it will be by his grace, not by our work. And I guess that was basically what I wanted to share.
Amen. You know, Andrew Murray, in most of his books, one of the statements that he makes is this, is that most of the time the problem with Christians is getting rid of self. It's denying
That's right.
self. And I agree with him. That's the biggest problem in our walk, is getting rid of this old lifestyle, this old life that we have. It's called self. You know, I want to mention something else about separation. If somebody that's called a believer and he comes to you and he's walking in willful sin, the Bible tells us what to do about that, doesn't he? And we're talking about believers here. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 9, it says, I wrote unto you in my epistle to have no company with fornicators, not at all meaning with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous and extortioners, or with idolaters. For then must ye needs go out of the world. But as it is, I wrote unto you not to keep company. If any man that is named a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a reviler, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such a one, no, not to eat. For what have I to do with judging them that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within? But them that are without God judges. Put away the wicked man from among yourselves. That's separating, isn't it? That's separating yourself from the ungodly people that call themselves Christian and brother. How many of them in the churches today do that? Not many. They keep them in there, keeping that money going. Ephesians 5:11 says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather even reprove them. In other words, take your sword and point it out to them where they've made their mistake and where they're stopping the body. Actually, they're stopping the body from receiving the blessing. If you've got sin in your fellowship, God's not going to bless it, is he, to the fullest extent that it could be. We learned that when we went into that Bible study with sanctification before blessing. That the body cannot be blessed if there's sin in the camp. And that's why the Lord tells us, gives us these instructions about separating yourselves from these people. Factious people is the same way. After the first or second admonition, you got to get him out of there. That's what the word says. Yeah, go ahead, Leon. I'll unmute you.
Well, that's a story of Joshua and the taking of the city of Ai. Because there was sin in the camp, all the people that went up to take the city of Ai were routed, and 36 of them got killed. And Joshua said to the Lord, you know, what's going on? You know, we're here to do this great work for you, and you're allowing our people to get killed. And God said, you know, get up, knock it off. You got sin in the camp, and you got to get rid of it. So that's a perfect story, a perfect illustration, I would say, of what you're talking about.
Well, I'll give you another one. It's even bigger than that, and that's what the Moses and the Israelites. They had sin in the camp. They had unbelief in the camp. He made them people traps around out there in that desert for 40 years before he could bless Joshua and Caleb and the rest of them. Sanctification before blessing. You've got to get sanctified. The body has to be sanctified before it can get blessed. Separation from sin, separation from the world, separation from flesh. Yeah, Andrew.
Then there's always the Solomon scenario of events on how he, after the queen of Ethiopia came, he thought she was pretty nice looking, and he started marrying all these Gentile women. And they started raising up all these high places in Israel so that these idols of different gods, and that's how you can see that comparison in society now with all these different ways of worshiping Jesus, you know. And we don't want the Solomon scenario of events or the Achan scenario of events to entangle us. So we have to be separate from that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that brings to mind Korah Rebellion, you know. God was fixing to take the whole bunch out, wasn't he? He fixed to take the whole bunch out. And of course, he opened the ground. There the sin went. He blessed them. Anyway, there's a bunch of examples of how we're supposed to act, how we're supposed to be as sons and daughters of God in our fellowship. If we find somebody in the fellowship that's in total rebellion, then you need to go to him. Don't just send the preacher to him, for goodness sake. If you see him doing something, tell him about it. What's Matthew 18:15 say? If you see your brother sin, go to him yourself. Then if he don't listen, take your witness. Then if he don't listen, then take him before the church. And then cast him out. Take him outside and stone him. No, I'm just, I don't do that. I was reading something today in Leviticus. You know how Leviticus says, this poor man got cold. Now, y'all know that I don't like cold. This poor man got cold and went out there and gathered him up some firewood on Sabbath day. And somebody caught him out there doing it. And they asked the Lord, Lord, what are we supposed to do with this guy? He's out there on the Sabbath day. What did the Lord say? He said, you got to stone him. You take him out. And they took him out because he broke the rules of God back then. And that's a type and a shadow for us, of course. It's not the sin. Yeah, Andrew.
You just mentioned Matthew 18. Isn't there a scripture verse where we're called lively stones?
That what?
Isn't there a scripture verse where we're compared to a stone, lively stones? And then there's the chief cornerstone? So you would in fact be stoning them, but you're the stone speaking the word of God to this person in Matthew 18 to try and convince them of what is wrong.
Amen. That's good. Yeah. I hadn't thought of that. Praise God. I knew it. I just hadn't thought of it. That's good, Andrew. We are the stone. Whoo! Come on now. And what is a fornicator? In the spiritual sense, is somebody that's taking on another Jesus, isn't it? That's somebody that's taking on another Jesus. We got a lot of those out there. Yeah, Andrew.
One of the churches in Revelation says that they're eating things sacrificed unto idols and committing fornication. So I don't think it's an actual physical event that they were doing. Don't forget that that's a couple of years after, you know, when the church was supposed to know a lot of spiritual things. So I think fornication is a different Jesus. You know, it's you're loving someone you're not supposed to love. You're agape-ing something that's not supposed to be agape.
Absolutely, that's what I believe. Yep. Yeah, Missy.
Adding to and taking away makes another Jesus, therefore you have an idol.
What's that?
Adding to or taking away from the word is having another Jesus, and therefore you have an idol.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Which is spiritual fornication.
Mm-hmm.
Like we're saying.
Amen.
I have some thoughts.
Okay. Let's hear them, Angela.
Okay. And also some scripture that I feel like the Lord has just given me. But I feel like being separate is the process of becoming a vessel of righteousness unto God. And there's 1 Corinthians 6:15. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? God forbid. What, know ye not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body, for two saith he shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication, even sin that a man doth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? And so it's really just, and I have some more scripture, but it's that process of becoming a righteous vessel for God's use. You know, he's a king. And even in the natural, you know, when you meet with dignitaries or somebody important, you know, you dress for the occasion and you prepare and you, you know, you clean your house if someone important is going to come over. So it's the same thing in the spirit. We're going to meet with the king, and the king's going to possess this house, and it has to be clean and, you know, righteous before him. And he does the work. So it's by faith through grace, but, that's what I feel like, being separated unto him is. And, I have also another scripture that says, that's First Thessalonians 4, 3, 4, and 5. For the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God. And so that's part of our trials and tribulation is, you know, everyone has a different background and things that we were involved in prior to being saved. And it's the possessing of the vessel, you know, through prayer, through deliverance, through seeking God and his, you know, his righteous hand delivering when he knows that your heart is ready to be separate from those worldly things, lust, desires, and things of that nature. You know, because sometimes we, like she was saying earlier, I think it was Gano, it's not on our own timing, but we grieve because we have this desire to be holy unto God, and we're lacking in some areas, but God knows when it's time, but we still have to stand in faith and still, resist that temptation, and the devil will flee. And I have one more scripture, 1 Corinthians 3:17. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are.
Amen. That's good. All right, anybody else? Thank you, Angelica. That was good. Some good scriptures there. I want to go over something here. Number 16 is starting out in 27. This is the little story of Korah and Dathan and Abiram. So they got them up from the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram on every side. And Dathan and Abiram came out and stood at the door of their tents. This was after Moses asked the Lord not to take them all. He just asked them to take the ones that were the perpetrators. They stood at the door of their tents and their wives and their sons and their little ones. And Moses said, hereby ye shall know that the Lord has sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of my own mind. If these men die the common death of all men, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord hath not sent me. But if the Lord make a new thing, and the ground open its mouth, and swallow them up with all that appertain unto them, and they go down alive into Sheol, then you shall understand that these men have despised the Lord. Well, the teaching that David gives sometimes is talking about when that ground closed up over them, that was they were swallowed alive by the earth, and that represented the flesh, right? They were swallowed up by their own flesh. 1 Timothy 5:6 says, but she that giveth herself to pleasure is dead while she liveth. We're not here to please the flesh. We're not here to please the world or anything around us. But if you're in rebellion against God, that's what you're doing. You're pleasing the flesh. And people that are in rebellion, I've seen it time and time again. when they're in the flesh, and they want to stay in. I like this flesh part, you know. They want to stay in it rather than overcome it and allow God to work in them to overcome it, like Angelica was talking about. Then they're in rebellion to God, and they're going to be consumed in the days ahead by the flesh. It'll take them out, completely out. And so when the Lord wants you to deal with something, it's best to go ahead and deal with it right then and get rid of it and let the Lord take it from you. It's not something that we can do or I can do or you can do. It's something that the Lord does, but we have to allow Him to do it and not go back to it like a dog to his vomit, you know. We have to stay away from it. Separation. Separation from sin, world, and flesh. Amen. All right, anybody else? Got some scriptures they want to quote?
Yeah, I just want to share something that I feel that, too, that separation is, like with us, it was come away. It was to Danny and I, it was to come away. I was reading today in 1 Corinthians 8, and at 32, it's about, you know, the married man is anxious about the worldly affairs of his wife, and the married woman is anxious about the worldly affairs of her husband. And like, we were like just, we were getting so anxious by all the worldly affairs of our family and things you have to do because your family, traditions you have to do because your family. It was creating such an anxiousness in us for a long time. And then coming under David's teachings and the revelation God was giving us, we just felt him drawing away. And then the last sentence here in 35 of 1 Corinthians 8, it says, well, the last verse, 35, says, I say this for your own benefit, not to lay any restraint upon you, but to promote good order and to secure your undivided devotion to the Lord. And I knew that's what, you know, we both, that's what God wanted us to do together, is to secure our undivided devotion to the Lord. And we couldn't do it. And it was, you know, you could have your time together, your time, you know, walk, try to walk with the Lord and walk in holiness. But there's so much around us that we had to come out from among it, you know, and which is coming out from among the world, because a lot of it was just the worldly affairs that were, you know, draining us. And a lot of things are hard to see, even in the church and family, just the sin and things you just know are not right. And you know, my desire for them was that they would know to, you know, secure their undivided devotion to the Lord and away from all these things. And I hate to be just through the shakings and terrible shakings that are come. I just pray that people will begin to be convicted of their need to come away and be apart from the world.
Amen. We have to be separated from them, because there's not going to be any sanctification unless we do. We have to be sanctified, the body. God has to separate us from the world, doesn't he? And he has to separate us from those who are in sin or leavened, as God puts it, and those who are carnal. We have to separate ourselves from them. The spots and blemishes in our midst are people who refuse to walk after the Lord, and he wants us to separate from them, move them out. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 10 says, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of defilement and despise dominion, daring, self-willed, they tremble not to rail at dignities, whereas angels, though greater in might and power, bring not a railing judgment against them before the Lord. But these as creatures without reason, born mere animals to be taken and destroyed, railing in matters whereof they are ignorant, shall in their destroying surely be destroyed, suffering wrong as the hire of wrongdoing. Men that count it pleasure to revel in the daytime, spots and blemishes, reveling in their deceivings, while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, enticing unsteadfast souls, having a heart exercised in covetousness, children of cursing, forsaking the right way, they went astray, having followed the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the hire of wrongdoing. And then Jude 12, these are they who are hidden rocks or spots in your love feasts when they feast with you, shepherds that without fear feed themselves, clouds without water, carried along by winds, autumn leaves without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots, wild waves of the sea foaming out their own shame, wandering stars for whom the blackness of darkness hath been reserved forever. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their lusts, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, showing respect of persons for the sake of advantage. So how do you deal with those kind of people? That's the ones you have to move out. We use that sword of the Spirit to move them out. Matthew 18:15. There's another one. Titus, that one in Titus. So that's the fun we do. See, there, my memory's coming back, Lord of God. Thank you, Jesus. It's already showing its effect. So we don't need to allow people around us that are in abject sin, do we? Because it's a little leaven. Leaven's the whole bread. The whole lump. Yeah, Tim?
Well, I've heard it quite a few times on different teachings. I was listening to, I think it was the end of October today at Bible study, and David pointed out, and I've seen it so much, you know, in my life and stuff, is that as long as you, you know, walk the straight line, those people will leave you. You don't have to cast them away. They'll find a way to, you know, reason not to come around anyhow. So, all we have to do is be true to the word, and, you don't really have to, you know, do much pushing to cast them away. They'll leave on their own.
Well, you know, I'm glad you brought that up because the people that have left here, we didn't have to tell them to leave. We tried to reason with them and tried to get them to repent. And they just walked out on their own. You know, I ain't got to put up with this mess. I'm gone. I'm out of here. You know, that's pride. It's fear of rejection, that kind of stuff. That's right. You know, Tim, there's probably 30 or 35, 40 people here now. But we were talking today about how many people have left here. There's been well over 100 leave here because they couldn't walk the whole walk. They could walk part of it, do it okay with it, but they couldn't go that next level. They couldn't go to the next level.
It kind of goes back to that fire insurance David used to talk about all the time. They thought if they could be in the right place, they'd have that, but, you got to earn it yourself. You can't just get it by association.
That's true. Yeah, just because you're in a ministry that's striving for holiness and sanctification doesn't mean you're going to make it. You got to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, the Word says. And that's where people get hung up sometimes, a lot of times. Praise God. They want to go so far. Yeah, I got you now.
Sorry, it's Debbie.
Oh, Debbie, I'm sorry.
Okay, but I'm sorry to interrupt you too.
No, go ahead.
Also, though, if we love the world, then we don't love, the love of the Father is not in us. If we're worldly and caught up in the cares of the world, and the love of the Father is not in us, and we're not known by Him. And verse 3 of chapter 8 in 1 Corinthians, says, but if one loves God, one is known by Him. So I underlined that. I thought that said a lot to me. So, I mean, you need to want to be known by God. Want to know you're loved by him, that you love him by not being part of this world. I mean, you know, so in tune to the cares of this world.
Amen. Listen to this. Did somebody else have something? In First John, in the first chapter, starting out in verse 5. And this is the message which we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, these things I write you that you may not sin. And if one sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation of our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. And hereby we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Praise God. That's the gospel. You have to walk in the light. You know, we talk a lot about separation from him and all of this stuff. This is people who are in willful sin, who are factious, who tries to cause division, or they're in some kind of moral sin, or they're criticizing or judging people. But if they're just wrong in their doctrine, I'm going the opposite way here now. If they're just a little bit skewed in their doctrine, or in the word, what do we do then? There's a good book. Go ahead, Andrew. Let me unmute you.
Yeah, I got to do that. I just want to read something from the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew.
It's sure.
Concerning the question you just posed. And it says there in chapter 5:19, whoso therefore shall break one of these, the least commandments, and shall teach men so, shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoso shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of the heavens. So I just wanted to throw that one in, because I think this pertains to what he's talking about here. So sorry for interrupting, but.
Oh, no, that's fine. Yeah, that's what I wanted, was an answer. And that's a good answer. What we are to do in those things, we overlook a lot of bad doctrine. We teach good doctrine and encourage them to look it up for themselves and give them the wherewithal to do that. But we don't condemn them because they're just not where you are yet, do we? We encourage them. That's what I was trying to get across. We have to encourage them to keep them striving to find the truth and give them those little nuggets. And there's sometimes, as most of you probably already know, you can you can give a little nugget here and a little nugget there and get them steered in the right way, and they'll eventually come to the truth. But if you just unload on them, a lot of these people, they're not going to accept it. Most generally, that's what I found out in my walk. So, but we do. We try to encourage them a little bit. You feed them a little at a time. If you try to choke them with the word, they ain't going to take it. All right. Anybody else? Okay, Julie.
I wanted to share one of the scriptures that came to my mind when you sent that text over is in John 15,
mm-hmm.
Starting in 18, about the hatred of the world. If the world hateth you, know that it hateth me before it hated you. And if you were of the world would love its own. But because you were not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, a servant is not greater than his Lord. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. And I guess I was just thinking that when you're talking about the false images of Jesus, you know, they don't know the one true God as well. They have their idol of what they think God is. And that God, you know, a lot of that is just their ignorance or what they were taught. My mom used to tell me that God loved everybody. And I believed that for a long time. You know, they don't know until they read the Bible for themselves, or they have their false doctrines that they believe, like we all came out of. And anyhow, it's just like the Lord chose his elect ones out of the world, and not everybody is the elect. And those that hate and persecute until that God gives them the grace that he gave us to repent and believe. You know, they don't know any different. We still have to be weak to them. And like you were saying, that you give them what you give them the truth. You help them to see the truth. And if they're able to receive it, if they've been given ears and eyes and the gift to repent, then they'll come into that understanding as well.
Amen. They will.
They will.
Okay, anybody else? Well, amen. Anybody got another verse they'd like to add to and comment on? Yeah, Andrew.
Earlier today, you mentioned something about translation. It's interesting how we were discussing being separate, and you mentioned translation. That's all I'm saying. Because I actually went and looked it up with Enoch on chapter 11 in the faith chapter of Hebrews, and it was kind of interesting.
Well, are you going to expound on that, or are you going to keep us in mystery here?
You know, that's sort of like a real clue for you guys.
Oh, my. You know, he's another one I'd like to talk to up here in heaven when I get up there and talk to him. He did a lot of stuff. That man did a lot of stuff in 300 years. A lot of stuff.
You know, I was told that he may have built the Great Pyramid.
Well, I says that he did and his sons did. Him and his sons. Where'd they get the tools to do that with? Huh? We don't have any kind of tools today, according to science and stuff, to build those pyramids the way that they were built.
Well, maybe the Flintstones has it right there, and they used to have dinosaurs, you know, pulling rocks and coming over.
So maybe so. Yeah, could have been. Well, I remember reading about this guy down in Coral Gables, Florida, that built this monument to his girlfriend. He was from over in East Europe somewhere. I forget. Romania? No, I forget. Where was Tesla from? I think he was from the same place. But anyway, he built this great big monument made out of tons and tons of rock, and he didn't have a crane, didn't have any kind of tools to work with. And it was a kind of a museum thing. It was big rocks. You can go online and look at it.
To your people, you are a chosen generation, holy nation.
Do what? I hear you, Debbie.
Sorry. I was talking to Jenny, asking him a question.
I know. I heard that question.
Oh, I can't find a verb.
Well, that's okay. We're writing them down. We're getting them down. That's okay. But anyway,
well, I wanted to
go ahead.
You go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
So
I insist.
Oh my God! I'm sorry. I had opened it to say something, and you were talking, and I thought I pushed it and thought it went off. But I'm looking for the verse where it says, "You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. You should show forth the praises of Him." So my other question was, how, being all that, does anyone have ideas of how that show forth the praises of Him to those looking on? But I'm taking away from what you were saying.
Do you know how we do that? I know you got the answer, or you wouldn't have asked the question.
Yeah. I wonder what other people think.
Okay.
I'm going to do it through because what...
Go ahead. You talk.
I'm thinking that it's God's grace. God's grace upon us that will bring glory to Him. I think that in the separateness, they will see the grace of God over our lives.
Yeah. What did the Lord tell us was better than sacrifice? He said obedience is better than sacrifice. Yeah. And so when we're in complete obedience to the Lord, we're walking like Him, aren't we? We're pleasing Him because we're walking just like Jesus, His Son. He said, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." And that's where He wants us. He wants us to get to that point, get rid of the flesh, get rid of the world, get all of this stuff out of us. And learn how to walk like Jesus did. We talked about the power of God. We talked about the authority of God. He's given us every tool that we need to do it, to walk like Jesus. And that's what pleases Him best, is to walk like it. It pleases Him to see faith in His people, that they exercise that faith. You know, God is not a respecter of persons. He's a respecter of faith. I've heard David say that many times, and he is, and I believe that. I believe God is a respecter of faith. As far as Enoch goes, and how he built that pyramid, I was telling you about this guy down there in Coral Gables, Florida, and we'll get back to this in a minute, Debbie. I want to tell this little story. If you haven't heard about him, he built this great, humongous thing. It had the great big rocks, just like the pyramid, great big old thing, big old rocks that he made this museum out of, monument out of, or whatever it was. It's kind of a neat looking thing. But he wanted to move it from where he was up to another place. I forget where that was, but it was 40 or 50 miles up the road. And what he would do, he would hire a bunch of trucks, and he'd get them. He said, I want y'all to come after you get off work, park your trucks, and I'll have your trucks loaded in the morning when you get here, and you can haul them up there, park the truck, I'll unload it that night, and then we'll load it, and then you go back and get you another load down there. And one of the truck drivers went early one morning to see how he loaded it. He got there a little bit early, and he said this guy was lifting these rocks up and just pushing them along, and until he got over the truck, and then he'd set them down on the truck with just his hands, just fingers and hands and stuff. And the guy told him, he said, how in the world are you doing that? He said, well, he said, all over the world there are places called sweet spots, and I think it's something to do with magnetism. Because, you know, when you get a positive and a negative action, they come together, right? But when you get a positive and a positive, they repel. Is that right? And I think that's what he was experiencing, that he had found the thing. And that may be something that Enoch had, too. That he's sitting there. It could be witchcraft. I don't know. But that's what went through my mind, being an electrician. Knowing that, you know, positive and negative, how they react to one another, he found out the secret to that, and where these sweet spots is. He had a sweet spot down there in South Florida, and then up in a little bit north of there, where he would move those rocks and stuff, big rocks, tons and tons and tons of rocks, just with his hand. Y'all, anybody else ever hear about that guy? Yeah, Leon has. See there, I ain't lying. Y'all are looking at me with all them, this guy is nuts kind of look. Yeah, I'll see you, Julie.
They have a deal on him probably once a year on Coast to Coast AM. Listen to it on the way home from work, and I catch it. And talking about how amazing it was, and, you know, they didn't know what he was doing, but that it actually, he built that thing by himself, and then, like you said, he moved it.
Yeah, he moved it by himself. Now, he died before he ever told anybody the whole story about how he moved that stuff, but that's where the one truck driver found out it is. Okay, how do we garner God's praises? How do we get God's praises? One at a time. One at a time. Yeah, go ahead, Tim.
Well, if we're like Jesus, or Jesus living in us, and after Jesus was baptized, the skies opened up and God said, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. So if we're Jesus, then he's pleased and happy with us.
Amen. That's right. Exactly. He wants to see Jesus in us. 36. He actually wants to see every one of us at 100-fold. 30, 60, and 100. 30 is just sliding in. You don't just, how many of you know that it could be 29 and a half and you just can't, you might not make it. I wouldn't want to just be at 30% or 30-fold. I want to be up there at least around 60 or 100. I'll be 100 what I want. Y'all know what 100 is, don't you? Okay, we better just hush. All right. Okay, hey, Dave. What's up, brother?
This starts our busy time of the year, so I get kind of pressed in corners on a lot of things.
Oh, yeah?
Work longer and everything else. And
trying to get them toys out?
Oh, my gosh. Last weekend, we had to shut the power off the facility where they checked all the circuits and everything to make sure everything was good, all the power circuits. Of course, whenever you shut things off, nothing comes up right. And we've been working through that and then trying to also get everything ready for Christmas. And it's just like, okay, now we're pulling out stuff. Everybody works as long as you can and just get this stuff done. And it's like, oh, I'm getting too old for this. So that's why I'm, you know, a little late.
Do y'all shut down for Christmas?
No.
They don't?
No, they work 24/7.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my.
I mean, there might not be as many people there, but there's still, there's somebody always at the post office doing something.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Lord, we thank you that these flesh killers that are coming up around Dave, he's overcoming. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. I feel your pain, brother. And then what Bill said, I feel your pain, brother. And I think Bill's fixing to see some pain now. They're fixing to go after him and Hillary, it looks like. Red Sea's fixing to overflow. I hope, anyway. It looks like that's what's going to happen.
You know, I was thinking about that. You know, there's a lot of people that are going to be exposed for things, you know, because that's the way this environment's going. But at the same time, I was thinking, there's a lot of unforgiveness, too, you know. And some of this stuff that happened with people, I mean, I'm not condoning any of it. I mean, I've been guilty of things myself, but But if you harbor on this unforgiveness all these years, wow, you know that story on our end, it doesn't end well. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping the message can get out that, I mean, sure, maybe there needs to be a cleansing and people need to come to terms with who they are and what they are, and maybe somebody will turn, but seek the Lord. But also, the victims, if they're out there, and the perpetrators, they both got to, you know, they both got to come to terms with what God likes and what He doesn't like, and find out what it is they need to straighten out in their lives, you know, and you know, forgive. I'm hoping that will come out, but I, you know, the way the world is, it's all about, you know, trying to cut people's throat off and get it and, you know, get even and. Hate to see it go too far the other way, but I think it probably will.
Well, I'll tell you, I've never seen as much faction or division in the world as I've seen it now. You know, it's just, and that stupid demon is all over everybody on the left. I don't know if you've noticed that or not, but these people are nuts now. I just have to tell you. How many people y'all know just go out and scream at the air just cause you're mad, cause you didn't get your way? You know, come on now. That's something screwy about that. But anyway, that's what's going on in the world. Have you noticed the earthquakes and the volcanoes that are going off now? Had the earthquakes over in, was that Iran and Iraq? 7 point something. That I think it was triggered by, could have been triggered by that nuclear blast going off. And that they exploded underground. Those bombs that exploded underground. Was that a nuke, Leon, or was that just some, yeah, I thought it was. Yeah, but anyway, triggered some nasty earthquakes going around, killed a bunch of folks. Things are ramping up, and that's where God is showing us these things, to get rid of the world, get rid of the flesh. You know, the only thing we can do is pray, and that's the most powerful thing in the world, is our prayers about these things. And we have to, you know, be directed by God. Quit that, Julie. Making me do it. but, yeah, that's, praying. Praying is what we've been, Lord's been directing our prayers too, what to do. Got a gag order. You know what a gag order is? A gag order is when the judge tells you to shut up and you got to shut up, right? That's a gag order. And that's what the Lord's told us to do. Leon, can you explain that better than me?
I don't know if I can explain it better than you, but I can explain it.
Okay. All right.
The girl had a dream, and I don't remember what the dream was now. But anyway, she saw these factious people all lined up, and they were railing on UBM. And she said, Lord, I don't want to hear this. What can I do? What can I do? And the Lord told her to look up. So she looked up, and she saw the word gag order. So she prayed that the Lord would put a gag order on all these people, and they couldn't speak any longer. So a gag order, like Michael said, a judge orders a gag order, and you can't talk about the case. So nobody can talk about the case. And so David wrote us all a letter and said, shared with us the dream and said, let's pray a gag order on all the factious people, which is what we've been doing. So they can't come against us now.
Amen. Well, in that same dream that Sandy had was some of the factious people coming against us in kind of nasty ways. And so that's what he was wanting us to do, is just gag them. In the name of Jesus, y'all are gagged. The gag order is on you. Remember what happened to, what's John's daddy's name? Zachariah? Yeah. Remember what happened to him? He got to talking too much. That angel said, that's enough of this, and I'm going to put a gag order on you, boy. He put a gag order on Zachariah, and he couldn't talk for 9 months. That's what we're doing. We're putting a gag order on these factious people that are throwing curses at us in Jesus' name. Okay. Anybody else got something we want to talk about?
There's a psalm I wanted to share real quick.
Yes, ma'am.
It's about what you just said. Psalm 137:6. If I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth, if I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy.
All right. I like that one in Psalms 18:21, too. No, Proverbs. Is it Proverbs? Proverbs. Now, let me look. I'm going to have to get my handy-dandy here. Electronic Bible. Boy, you can... What? I sure do like my electronic Bible. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. They that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So that's why it's imperative that you gag these people that are sending curses against you. You gag them. Thrust that sword of the word down their throat. Cut their tongue off. Fry it up in some scrambled eggs. No, I'm just kidding. Oh, boy. Talking about scrambled eggs, anybody had hog brains and scrambled eggs lately? Y'all look at me like that ain't nothing good. It is good, y'all. It's good. Make you smart, too. Pigs are smart. Y'all probably didn't know this. Pigs are some of the smartest animals out there. Mm-hmm. Don't believe me? Ask Phil Robertson. He'll tell you the same thing. Okay, y'all, let's get back on the subject at hand here. What about getting praise from God? What else? Do you want to talk about something else? Has somebody got a question about something else? If you got a question at all that's been bogging you. I'm not sure that I can answer it, but we'll sure. Somebody on this place can, I'm sure. Got a bunch of smart folks here. At least that's what I've been told. Well, this is great. Everybody knows everything there is to know about everything there is to know about everything. That is awesome. Praise God. Hey, Willie. Help me out, brother.
I have a question.
Yes, sir.
This is something I find myself often saying. The condition of the world, is it revolving around the condition of the church? Like, if the church isn't right, you know, does God... You know the situation with Job and Satan?
Yep.
When the condition of the church isn't right, it seems like the condition of the things in the world reflect, you know, the condition of the church. You know, and God, you then turns around and uses it as a chastening rod.
Well,
I'm just saying, do you think that, you know,
what we have to look at is history in the Word of God. When the Israelites were right with God, peace and harmony. Everybody had a grin on their face and they had a rabbit in the pot. Or whatever. But when they messed up, what happened? So, go ahead. I know you got some more. I'm sorry.
No, I was just wondering about that. Because I would often look at people would, you know, bring up the thing, you know, what about homosexuality? And, you know, the only thought that would come to my mind is, you know, if the church is using the world, you know, to glorify self. You know, that's like, you know, a man being joined unto himself or a woman being joined unto herself instead of it, you know, being joined unto God. You know, they're taking the word of God, you know, to glorify self. So I would explain it as, you know, if you look at homosexuality today and you want to see the spiritual nature behind it, it would be as if someone takes the word of God, you know, just to glorify themselves. And since the word, you know, joins us unto Christ, you know, if you use it for self, it would be like you just living to be joined unto your own lust, like a man with a man or a woman with a woman. And so that's why I was just, you know, looking at that, because I'm like, you know, there's a thing with, you know, homosexuality increasing in this nation. Is that a reflection of what's going on with, you know, how the church is just taking the word of God and, you know, glorifying self rather than God? And that's why I brought up the question. Because that's what I would often tell people, you know. If you see a condition of something that's going on in the earth, you know, take a look at the church. You know, where are God's people at the moment? But I just wanted to ask that question to make sure, you know, I wasn't telling people, you know, I've been saying this for a long time and I've been wrong. Ah.
Amen. had a stink bug. Well, that's true. That's true. If you go back in history, just like I was talking about a while ago, you'll find that when they got away from God, bad things happened. But when they were with God, good things happened all the time. And that's, if you're seeing that, you're seeing the degradation right now of a society in this country because of just what you're talking about right there. That and taking God out of the schools, taking, you know, just eliminating Christian activity wherever they can. And the church has allowed it. We've got a bunch of churches that don't even believe God. And so I'm telling you, it is so different today than it was 50 years ago, 40 years ago, 30 years ago, 20 years ago. But I can see through the years of my living, I can see the degradation that has they have allowed to step in and ease in and take over, ease in and take over, ease in and take over, ease in and take over. And directly all you got is a bunch of heathens up there in Washington running the country. What do we expect God to do? I mean, I've heard preachers before say, if God doesn't judge this nation, then he needs to apologize for Sodom and Gomorrah. You've got teaching in the schools. I saw in California, they're teaching in the schools. They're allowing transgender people to teach the little kids about transgender and how they're, I don't know how they even teach that kind of junk, but they're doing it. It's craziness. It's craziness. Yeah, Julie.
When you're talking about homosexuality, aren't they allowing homosexuality in the church? And aren't like some of, I've heard this, I didn't do a lot of research, but even like some of the ministers themselves are homosexual.
Yep. Sure.
So if it's in the world, it's in the church. So there is a connection there, Willie.
Absolutely. Yeah, Missy.
Well, what comes to my mind is judgment comes first to the household of God. Why is that? Because that's the source, like we're talking about, of everything going down the proverbial toilet. You know, just things getting worse and worse because the so-called Christians aren't living according to the word. Full of sin. And
not a whole lot of praying going on, is there?
Mm-hmm.
Not just a whole lot of praying going on. Not just it's a feel good Christianity, like everybody knows we got that ear tickling Christianity going. But you know what? That's the reason God's bringing this tribulation on, is to straighten out the church. He's gonna shake the church, and church gonna get right. Praise God. We're going to have some good times coming up ahead. I know it.
Hey, Michael?
Yes.
I was listening to another brother in the Lord that has a radio station. He was saying that, and I don't know where I would verify the information, but he was saying that one of these, you know, really, you know, high up there archaeologists and, you know, historian kind of person, did research and he said that the research showed that any time that there was a fall of a nation, you know, like the Roman Empire, that there was a rampant rise in homosexuality. It's like the ultimate rebellion, you know. And so if you think about that, as in the days of Noah, and you know, maybe the fall of the Roman Empire and different other empires, is a spirit of lawlessness that is just kind of a sign of the times, you know, in God's timeline. And I thought that was pretty interesting because, you know, it has a spiritual application. It wasn't necessarily, you know, something economic that, was the main contributor. It was, you know, because of homosexuality, what this researcher was saying.
Well, I believe that. Yeah, go ahead, Tim.
Well, it'd be, when, you know, rampant homosexuality is, you know, the ultimate and outward immorality. So the inward morals, you know, where they used to be in the closet, so to say, you know, where it wasn't outward. And so the morals of society had broke down so far that it was accepted openly. So there's no moral groundwork anywhere probably in the society, and that's why they would collapse. If you look at it, you know, as a biblical or moral standpoint like that.
Well, this it's gone so silly. They have ousted a colonel, and I don't remember which branch of the service it was in, because he would not sign this card for one of the enlisted men who had a partner that was retiring, and he was retiring as well. And instead of letting things go, he took the card into somebody else and let them sign it. He wasn't going to be a part of it because he was a Christian, and he didn't believe in that you can marry as a homosexual, you know. And they kicked him out of the service because of it. And, of course, there's a big to-do about it now. They're trying to overturn that kind of stuff. But that's the kind of stuff we got going on. When I was in the service, you got kicked out of the service for being a homosexual. It's not compatible with life in the service, because you got a bunch of men that live together. You got a bunch of women that live together. You can't have homosexuality in that kind of atmosphere. And they would kick them out back then. But now, they're allowing it. Can you imagine having a homosexual on a ship with just 100 people? That's crazy. But anyway, that's how far we've gone, and the Lord's fixing to fix it. He's fixing to fix it. You're gonna have to, he's drawing a line in the sand. You're either gonna have to get off the fence and come into the kingdom, or you're gonna be left. But you're gonna be out in the cold. We're gonna be asked, some of us here in this room are gonna be asked to do some things by the government, possibly in the future, that you're going to have to decide whether or not you're a true Christian and you're going to follow God no matter what, or are you going to give in to the world and the flesh? Of course, I know every one of y'all is not going to give in to that, because you know what's waiting on the other side. But I'm saying that's what's going to happen to everybody. God's for those who's on the edge. You can't be on the edge and call yourself a Christian. That ain't going to work. He's going to take away the hospitals. He's going to take away the Walmarts. He's going to take away all of those things. Sonic, McDonald's, Bubba's Barbecue. You know, good places like that. And we're going to have to rely on one thing, and that's going to be God. Okay, what y'all want to talk about next Tuesday? We're kind of running down, winding down here. Anybody got a subject they'd like to talk about next Tuesday? Let's talk about Thanksgiving Tuesday. What do you think? Let's talk about what to eat. Manna from heaven. Manna from heaven. Praise God. Okay, y'all, what you want to talk about next Tuesday night? Anybody got any thoughts in their head they'd like to talk about? Anything about the end times? Anything about God? Anything about our walk with God?
Michael?
Yes, sir.
I'm not sure if it came up, but I know it's been coming up in some of the circles of people that we know, believers. And that's the thing about Christian bearing arms after the California thing, that we would just spend a little time discussing that.
Okay.
It's a big issue right now. It's going to be big.
All right. Yeah, that's a good one. Should a Christian bear arms? All right, that's what it'll be. That's what we're talking about. David's got a good article on the front of the page there. It's called The Cross or the Sword, something like that, Sword of the Cross or something like that. That talks a little bit about that. But it's all through a lot of his teachings. It's through a lot of that.
I can kind of see where this also includes with a gag order, because you're being confronted with people that are not in right mind, and they want to draw you into confrontation, and they want to draw you into their craziness. So all this comes down to us, you know, not only not taking a stand against them violently, but also protecting ourselves from being drawn into these kind of things, and because it's going to constantly present itself one way or another. I would say one of the things that I always see real quick is they want to draw you into a situation and let you be a judge, because they're judging. They're always judging. They're angry. And they want to get you in that same situation where you're judging and angry with them.
Well, I'm going to protect my family, glory to God. I don't care what you say, brother. I got to protect my family. You know, I've heard that so many times. You can protect them better with the Word of God. Anyway. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you that next Tuesday, from this point to next Tuesday, you're going to protect all of us. And you're going to provide for all of us, Lord. And I thank you for that, because we pray the prayer of faith. We know what it is to walk like you, Lord. We're doing it. We're trying it. We're trying it out, and it feels good. And Lord, I thank you for your righteousness. I thank you, Lord, that you're showing us how to walk that righteous walk. Not that we are righteous. We're only righteous in you, Lord. It's the Jesus in us that's righteous, Lord. I ain't nothing in me, my old flesh, that's any count. It's all dependent upon you, Lord. And I know that you, in the mornings when I look out, just like Lake did, he'd say, look at there, in this suit of clothes walks Jesus. And that's what we ought to do too, just like 1 Corinthians 3:18 tells us to do. We're going out in the world, walking, talking like Jesus, with signs and wonders that follow. And Father, I thank you for it. And Lord, I ask and I pray that you give us all great and bold faith from this point till next Tuesday, and that you have filled us with your Holy Spirit, Lord, that we're going to use the Holy Spirit up during this period of time. You're going to put people in front of us that we need to minister to, Father. And I thank you for that. And I thank you, Lord, that you're giving us wisdom. You're giving us discernment as well, Father, to do this walk that you've got us on. And I thank you for it, Father. Lord, when we see somebody in need, Lord, place it in their hearts to go ahead and help them. Makes no difference, because you're going to provide whatever it takes. It don't make any difference. You got all the money in the world. Ain't nothing you can't give us. I mean, you could go along. I know that someday I'm going to be walking out there on my walk. When I go to walking, I'm going to find me one of 1 pound gold nuggets, Lord of God. And it's not going to be to use, it's going to be to give. And Father, I thank you that you're going to do that for all of us. In Jesus' name. And Lord, I ask and I pray Father, that you just lead us yourself and let you be the guide in all of our lives. Set a watch before our lips that we only speak as an oracle of you, Lord. And we praise you for it. And we thank you, Lord, for the blessing that you've given us tonight of each other's lives that we have entered into with ourselves. We just know that we love our brothers and sisters. And we're praying for them, Father. And we thank you for allowing us this privilege of being together in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good night, folks. Bless you. Let me see here.
Good night. Bless you. Thank you for the prayers.
Yeah, bless y'all. Bless everybody.